Woke up quick at about noon.
And welcome in here to this Free Agency Friday edition of the podcast with Damian Barling here on the Be Heard podcast platform. Thank you so much for downloading, streaming, and thank you so much for listening wherever you may be at. I know I had said we were going to do a Zoom. We were going to do the live podcast here for Free Agency, but a couple of things got in the way. I'll explain them here real quick because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of great stuff as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings to talk about. One, I have to kind of keep my phone in front of me and stay on alert because I still have responsibilities to ESPN 1320 as Free Agency continues. And I didn't want to be in a position where we were on a Zoom live and I had to divert my attention away from that. It's one thing if I have to do it during a recorded podcast. It's another thing to have to do it, you know, live. And the other thing is Deuce and Mo are doing something tonight. And I didn't want to get buried by them. They're so freaking good with Twitch and with YouTube and with live streams. And I didn't want to sit here being fumbling around with it and then risking, you know, breaking away their audience to come over here or my audience leaving. I didn't want to do that. Like, that's dumb. I never do that. Like, they do it all of the time. And so when I found out they were doing something, I was like, this is a bad idea. Not to mention, I've got to do this other stuff. Not to mention, I'm really bad at it. And so we've got to kind of figure it all out together. And that was going to be part of the fun of the Zoom. But I'm going to reschedule it Friday, December 4th. So if you've already sent me your email address, you're already locked in. You're going to get an invite to be a part of our Zoom podcast. We're not going to do a podcast next week. I've got Thursday and Friday off from the show, so I'm just going to kind of shut things down. I'm front-loading all of the podcast recordings for the Sacramento Kings podcast and for Bill Black. All of that stuff is going to be recorded at the very beginning of the week, and it'll be released at the beginning of the week. And then no radio show, no podcast. So we'll be back on December 3rd or December 4th, excuse me, Friday, December 4th. So for that podcast, that'll be the one we do on Zoom. So if you want to be a part of it, you've got more time to shoot me your email address, 916-888-5898. I will send you the invite for December 4th. It'll be probably about 5:30, somewhere around there, 5:15, 5:30. We'll do it then. There shouldn't be any interruptions. We shouldn't be going against anybody. It should work out beautifully. So we'll do it there that night, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about as training camp will be underway. What a really good week it was for the Sacramento Kings. So free agency is underway. Let's get to the free agency news. And there is there's some interesting things happening around the world of the NBA. There's a whole lot of interesting things happening around the world of the Sacramento Kings. None bigger, though. Obviously, we had the draft this week. We appreciate everyone who tuned in to ESPN 1320 and our draft day marathon, who took a listen to me and KC and everything that we were doing over there. We hope that you'll tune in with us all season. Thank everybody at the Kings Herald who joins us. Hope you enjoyed that. There are so many great Kings podcasts out there, Watching the Tape, the Kings Pulse, the Kings Herald podcast with Tony and Will. I mean, it was Tim and Sanjis, Rich. I mean, just so many great analysts, so many great opinions. So much great conversation, and we're hoping to continue that all through the year. And it looks like there's going to be some fun things to talk about. As I take my first sip of Terramana, De'Aaron Fox, congratulations, player. This one is for you. Take a little sip right there. Next time he's buying, though, De'Aaron Fox, $163 million. De'Aaron Fox signs the first max contract extension of this offseason. And there's a couple of them coming. I said offseason. Of this free agency period, there's a couple of them coming. I got to imagine Jason Tatum is coming. Brandon Ingram, I got to imagine he's going to lock in a big lengthy extension. And I don't know what Anthony Davis is going to do. I think Anthony Davis is going to sign with the Lakers. Don't read anything into him not signing today. There's a reason he's not signing today. It's the same reason LeBron James didn't sign till several days into free agency during his last contract extension with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He allows them to spend some of their cap money and the Lakers will have, they can go over the cap, they can do all of the sorts of different things. You have much more leeway with them trying to sign Anthony Davis. So don't read anything into that. But those are the max contracts that are coming, and De'Aaron got one, and he's so deserving of it. De'Aaron is the the centerpiece of this franchise. He is the centerpiece of this organization. He is the centerpiece of this roster. Everything, in my opinion, that Monty McNair does should be built around De'Aaron Fox. There's no more. And it's such a relief. It's got to be such a relief for Kings fans who are like, you know, no rookie in recent memory has seen their second deal. I mean, think about it. Willie Cauley-Stein is gone. He's been on multiple different teams since leaving Sacramento. He was a first-round pick. Never saw a second deal here in Sacramento. Ben McLemore, same thing. Justin Jackson, Malachi Richardson. Unfortunately, Harry Giles. Harry Giles isn't going to see a second contract. Woj was on ESPN earlier today talking about Harry Giles actually getting significant interest from Toronto. Harry Giles is actually getting interest. And this isn't a surprise. Like, we knew this. We knew this as soon as the Sacramento Kings didn't pick up his option. We knew he was going to get interest from other people. The Kings did the hard work. And this is the frustrating, you know, there are, I know there are a million frustrating points with Vlade. But, man, Vlade clearly didn't understand what was happening. He clearly didn't understand that he couldn't re-sign Harry Giles. He said, we were going to teach him a lesson, and we were going to make him work hard, and we were confident we were going to re-sign him. Like, what? Like, bro, you're not paying attention. And so Harry's going to get a good. Kings did all of the hard work, man. They got through his rehab. They drafted him. They got him through his rehab. They got him in pretty good shape. Like, there's still a lot, I think, that Harry has to learn. He just needs to be on the basketball floor. And, I mean, goodness gracious, he's probably going to sign a contract for some decent money. Good for him. Not great money. I don't think he's going to sign a contract for great money. But I think he's going to, you know, he's going to sign, I don't know, six, somewhere. I don't know, something like that. 2-3 years, but I think he's going to get a chance to play because I think teams are going to believe in him. Teams are going to say, you know, this is going to happen a lot. This young man, we think he has some ability. It's just, you know, he was in Sacramento. And I think that's always going to be a caveat, especially, I don't know that's going to be a caveat anymore with Monty McNair here. I think that's going to be kind of through the Vlade era, but I think there are still going to be people that look at Willie Cauley-Stein and think, you know, I think Willie can play. Willie's going to be able to do something. I think there are people. We saw it with Ben McLemore. We saw it with Ben McLemore in Houston where, you know, Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, right system, right fit. Boom, he played well. Wasn't great, but he played really well in the role that he was in. And so there's always going to be that, but they're in Sacramento caveat, and we're going to be able to fix him. And so good for Harry, sucks for us, but we all, I know we didn't really want to accept it, but we all knew. I mean, Harry Giles was going to get an offer. He was going to be somewhere else. And so, you know, the other centerpiece is, so, you know, you got De'Aaron locked up long-term. Great. You got Tyrese Haliburton coming into the Sacramento Kings. Awesome. Great stuff all around. Now you've got this Bogdan Bogdanovic situation, which is, you know, watching this story develop on draft day was really kind of spectacular. Like we were, you know, following along, doing the show. And Sam Amick tweets, you know, that I believe the words that he used were the Bogdan Bogdanovic deal to Milwaukee is in peril. It's like, huh, okay. And this was, you know, this was actually really, it wasn't near the beginning of the show. It was kind of near the beginning of the draft show, which really started around 2:00. And I know we had Will Griffith and Tony Zipteris on right after that. And we were all kind of forming these theories. We had, you know, Jason Jones on shortly after that. And Jason was just flabbergasted. Like, why? Vlade's gone. We're not supposed to be dealing with this right now. Like, why is this a thing? How is this happening? And, you know, you start to, and my partner on the Sacramento Kings podcast, Jill Adge, went back on Jason Anderson's Twitter feed. Jason Anderson, the beat writer for the Sacramento Kings, went to his Twitter feed from I think it was Monday night, the night that Woj tweeted that there was a deal that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Sacramento Kings were working out a sign and trade deal to send Bogdan Bogdanovic to Sacramento. Dante DiVincenzo was going to come back along with Ilyasova and TJ Wilson. Okay. And you start to get resigned to that. And Jason Anderson said that night, I can't confirm this tweet. My source tells me there's been no deal done. So there's a lot of things that you try to read into that. Like, okay, someone jumped the gun in tweeting Woj. Or I'm sorry, someone jumped the gun in texting Woj. Someone jumped the gun in telling someone that this deal had happened. And when I think it was Jason Anderson again, as a matter of fact, on draft night, asked Monty McNair, because this Bogdan Bogdanovic saga was developing all through the draft. And when Monty McNair finally spoke that evening, Jason Anderson asked him, you know, is there anything that you can tell us about Bogdan Bogdanovic? I actually might still have this clip pulled up in my bank. I'll play it for you. He asked him, is there anything that you can tell us about Bogdan Bogdanovic, and did, you know, this deal being in peril affect the way that you drafted? Here's what Monty McNair said on draft night.
Yeah, Bogdan's a great player, great shooter, great playmaker, you know, obviously a great talent. But yeah, tonight at the draft, was just about best player available, like it always will be. And, you know, I think we were really excited, like I said, when Tyrese was there, as well as Jamias in the second round. You know, we're always looking for talent, and we'll add that whenever we can.
How great was that? Because he didn't answer him. He didn't answer him at all. And so that leads me to believe this is just 100% speculation on my part. When you read into this stuff, it's like, okay, who has the most to gain from getting this information out there? Especially at the time, what was it, 4 days before free agency started? Who has the most to gain from this? Well, the Kings certainly don't have anything to gain, because you traded Bogdan Bogdanovic. You don't gain anything from that. Does Bogey have anything to gain? Not really. Allegedly, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he's agreed to a deal. Okay. Well, the Bucks have something to gain, because the Bucks' whole offseason mission is to say, hey, look at what we got for the Greek Freak, Giannis. Stay with us, baby. Look what we got for you. We got you Drew Holiday. Oh, you like Drew Holiday. Super respected player in the league. Very good player. Very good player. You, hey, huh? Giannis, we got this Serbian here for you. Bogdan Bogdanovic, he can shoot. Got ice water in the veins, huh? What do you think about this? Giannis, this is all for you, buddy. Now, Bogey does have something to gain in terms of, you know, he's going out there. He's trying to get the best contract he can. He's a restricted free agent, so he can sign offer sheets with whoever he wants to, but the Sacramento Kings have the right to match that. Now, there has been a ton of speculation about what may have happened. Everybody has a different opinion because it is such a bizarre situation. That's the one thing pretty much everybody is agreeing on, is this is one of the most bizarre free agent situations we've seen in recent memory. And, you know, there were comparisons to, like, immediately there were comparisons to the DeAndre Jordan, Dallas Mavericks, Los Angeles Clippers situation, which I speculated that might have been the birth of NBA Twitter. It was the night where emojis were being tweeted, banana boat emojis, car emojis, all of this different stuff was happening. And then nothing happened. So, right? That's ultimately what it is. DeAndre Jordan stayed in Los Angeles. Nothing happened. And now you've got this here with Bogdan Bogdanovic, where it's like, okay, what exactly is going on? And now Bogdan Bogdanovic is out there. There was a tweet. I try to be careful, like, who we quote tweet, who we reference, and we didn't reference this on the air, but there was someone said Bogey is expected to sign an offer sheet with Atlanta. And this was at 2:30 our time. This was 2:30 Pacific Standard Time, so 30 minutes before free agency started. And it's like, okay, I think I'm detecting the problem here. The problem is his agent's got happy fingers, and he starts to tell everybody who will listen, my client is going to do this, my client is going to do that. And you can always tell, you know, pay attention to podcasts, pay attention to tweets, pay attention to articles. You can figure out, like, Shams, I feel like Shams is like Shams and Adam Schefter, right? They're player guys. Shams, I think, gets a lot of information from players. Agents, too. But I think he gets a lot of stuff from players. Chris Haynes, I think he gets a lot of stuff from players. Adam Schefter, I think he gets a lot of stuff from players. Adrian Wojnarowski, listen to his podcast. He always has general managers on. I think coaches, I think that's where he gets a lot of his information. So when you read stuff, you often have to figure out, it's one of my favorite games to play. You guys know this by now if you've been listening a long time, and hopefully you have. One of my favorite games to play, guess the source. Who's got the most to gain from this? Now, Bogey's looking for dollars, but teams don't know what the dollars are. And don't read, I mean, tampering. Dude, every free agency period in every sport, like, no one abides by any of these rules. What you're going, it's not like an agent is sitting around. It's not like if, for example, if you were a free agent on the Golden State Warriors, you haven't played basketball since March. You've known since, what was it, June or July, that you weren't going to play basketball. It's not like agents were just sitting around going, okay, can't wait till November 20th when I can start figuring out where my athlete who makes me millions of dollars is going to play. Can't wait to do that. Of course not. Oh, they've been talking to teams this whole time. But the smart ones don't tell Adrian Wojnarowski. The smart ones don't tell anybody. They just go out, they figure out, like, hey, here's what we got for you. Another great example, Gordon Hayward. I was actually expecting Gordon Hayward to be the first signing today. And it goes to show you that he's a little bit smarter than that, because Gordon Hayward opted out of a deal that would have paid him $34 million last year. He opted out of a deal that would have paid him $34 million this year in this upcoming season. And so you don't opt out of a deal like that. Same situation, same team. Gordon Hayward, Boston Celtics. Rewind 1 year ago. Boston Celtics, Al Horford. Al Horford knew he was going to sign with the Philadelphia 76ers when he told Boston he wasn't coming back. He knew that. And Boston was like, cool, we ain't paying you that. Go on about your business. All good. Nothing to see here. Even the Celtics and the Celtics and Gordon Hayward, even they worked out like an extension. They gave him a couple extra days to decide, you know, whether he was going to opt in or out. I assume, again, this is completely an assumption, that they were weighing different sign and trades. Maybe Gordon Hayward had a specific place that he wanted to land, and Boston looking at it like, well, okay, let's see what we could do. We don't want to lose you for nothing, so let's see what we can work out. Maybe we could work out a sign and trade here. Let's see what we can figure out. Obviously, they weren't able to figure it out as Gordon Hayward opted out. Gordon Hayward didn't opt out thinking, okay, I'm going to leave this $34 million on the table, $34 million for 1 year on the table with the Boston Celtics so I can go sign a $20 million or $30 million deal over the next 3 years. He didn't do that. He knows the market for him, but he's smart enough to not sign at 301. He's smart enough to not be Albert Haynesworth. Remember, Albert Haynesworth signed at, you know, our time, 901. Albert Haynesworth, Tennessee Titan, signs with the Washington football team at 901, 1201 Eastern Standard Time. It took them 1 minute to negotiate a 4-year, quote, football money, $100 million deal. Of course, it was nowhere near that, but you get the idea. There's always someone Agents got to be smarter. Teams have to be smarter. We all know it's okay. It's no different than college basketball. It's no different than college football. Whatever your favorite school is, no matter what it is, even if it's Coach K, the most, the beloved Coach K, even if it's Roy Williams, no matter who it is, your coach cheats. They all cheat. Some of them are smarter. Some of them aren't. I don't think agents negotiating contracts for their clients is cheating. I don't think operating outside of the window is cheating. The NBA knows that it happens. I mean, Adam Silver said, I don't know how much tampering we can fix. They've tried to instill fines. They've tried to do all of this thing. It doesn't work because agents talk. Agents talk to teams. Agents talk to other agents. Players talk to players. It's okay. No big deal. Just don't get caught. Just don't tell Woj 3-4 days early. And that's what somebody involved in the Kings, Bucks, Bogdan Bogdanovic deal did. I still say that that's the strangest part of this free agency period is I'm going to take another sip here and toast to Aaron Fox. But, you know, coming in a strong second, like a really strong second, is the Dwight Howard situation. Dwight Howard tweeted, I'm staying right here where I belong. Laker Nation, I love y'all. Purple and gold never gets old. That was tweeted today, 4:17. Shams tweeted shortly thereafter, Dwight Howard has agreed to a deal to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I thought, man, that is great for Dwight because I thought he was going to be looking for a little bit more money than the Los Angeles Lakers could afford, but I thought the perfect place for Dwight was the Los Angeles Lakers. I thought he played really well there last year, or not really well. I thought he played well there last year, and I thought he was an important part of what they did, and I thought this was a great situation for him. Well, shortly before we started recording this podcast, Shams tweeted, free agent, again, I don't even think he acknowledged the first tweet, and I went back and looked at it because I'd quote tweeted it from the ESPN account, and I went back and looked at it like, wait a minute, did I quote tweet a fake Shams report? And I was like, I couldn't have because I don't get alerted by fake Shams. I get alerted by Shams. That's what I saw, a Shams alert from Dwight Howard. I was like, all right, let's get this up on the ESPN account. Well, apparently Dwight Howard has agreed to a one-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. And so I still can't figure out exactly, like, did I get hosed? I feel like I was had somewhere. I should probably go look at the ESPN account again and figure out, like, did I quote tweet Shams or did I quote tweet someone else? Like, you get fooled on free agency day. And here it is. No, it's right here. That's Shams. It's right there. I'm so baffled. He tweeted, free agent Dwight Howard has agreed to a deal to return to the Los Angeles Lakers, sources tell The Athletic. This is a weird one. And because we started recording this podcast, I haven't had an opportunity to, like, really dive into, you know, like to search out the story or to figure out, like, what happened or anything like that. But that's a weird one. That's definitely a weird one. Trey Burke has agreed to a 3-year deal with the Mavericks. That's a good one for them. Is that some of the latest news that has come in? Malik Beasley has agreed to a 4-year, $60 million deal to return to Minnesota. I don't like Minnesota, man. We've spent a lot of time talking about that over the last couple of days, obviously because they had the number one overall pick. I don't buy them. I can't tell you why. Well, I can tell you why. They won 19 games last year. And I mean, that doesn't mean that they can't get better. It doesn't mean that they can't improve. It's just like Karl Anthony Towns was on the team last year. It's not like they drafted Karl Anthony Towns this year. It's not like they signed Karl Anthony Towns this year. He's been on the team and they stink. And I don't know what the good explanation is for them stinking. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know what it is. So I can't. I think their roster, and that's kind of the weird part about this. We talked about we talked a little about this with Marshall Harris when he joined Kenny and myself today or Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. You know, I think the roster on the Minnesota Timberwolves is good, and I can't put my finger on why aren't they better. And the other thing is, and I don't want to get like deep into this because it's, but I think Karl Anthony Towns is going to have a rough year. I could be completely wrong, but you know, we're still battling a global pandemic. Karl Anthony Towns very early in this thing lost his mom, and I think this is going to be. You know, it's not like some of these athletes who use like basketball as a distraction. Like basketball is my life. Like I can center my attention. Like there was the famous game. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, you know, his sister dies. You know, he comes out there, he balls out, he plays. It's phenomenal. It adds storyline. There's the famous Brett Favre Monday Night Football game. I think that was against the Raiders. There's the Shaquille O'Neal game where he pulls up. You know, as the game is already in progress, like Superman exiting the car after his grandma dies, and he goes and changes clothes. I think he was still with Orlando at the time, and he goes and plays basketball. Like I needed to be out here. My mom would have wanted me out here, but there's going to be constant reminders of the virus. There's going to be constant reminders of the pandemic because he's going to be playing inside an empty Target Center. And everywhere he goes, he's going to be in empty arenas, and he's going to be secluded, and he's going to be isolated, and he's going to be in his hotel room. And I think it's going to be so awkward. I think that that's going to be difficult for him, and I don't fault him for it at all. I don't fault him for that at all, but what I think about, like, because obviously part of my job is to find storylines for the Kings and scenarios for the Kings, and I'm looking at, like, okay, we've got this interesting situation this year. It's set up right now to be a 1 year provisional, you know, trial basis here for the 9-10 play-in game. But okay, Kings last year 31 wins. The 10th team at this moment would be Phoenix. Phoenix and Memphis both finished with 34 wins. San Antonio finished with 32. It's like, okay, what is Monty McNair, not a coach, not a player, but a front office executive, what is he worth in terms of wins to the Sacramento Kings? I don't think Bogdan Bogdanovich is going to be back. I mean, he might. Is there a number that the Kings aren't willing to match? They extended a qualifying offer, which is just a formality. It's what they should do. It says here's your baseline. Go beat it. Go get an offer bigger than this. And I feel like Monty McNair still holds all of the cards. The difficulties with signing Bogdan Bogdanovich is your team becomes really expensive. You're pushing the salary cap threshold with Bogey on your team, and you're a 31 as of last year, 31 wins in a 72 game season. This season right now is projected to be 72 games. They're planning for it to be 72 games. They're doing a lot of unique things this year. Is on December 1st, the day that all teams report to training camp, they're going to release the first half of the schedule. Now, the first half of the schedule runs from December 22nd to, I think, like mid-March. And then they're going to release the second half of the schedule like during the first half. But what they're going to be aware of, what they have to be aware of is, you know, they don't just play on Sundays. Or specifically, they don't just play once a week like the NFL does. They're going to have to. There's going to be some sort of COVID list. You know, COVID, I don't know what you're going to call it, COVID reserve list. That's what it's called in the NFL. The whole damn Raiders football team is on the COVID list. Certainly the whole defense is on the list. The Las Vegas Raiders have failed to get a grip on how to navigate a football team during a pandemic or how to operate a football team during a pandemic. They haven't been able to figure that out. So the NFL is going to deal. I mean, the NBA is going to have to deal with that. But is that like, what does that ultimately look like? Does that look like missed games? If one player tests positive, is there contact tracing with everybody? And it's like, okay, one player tests positive. That means nobody can play. Does everybody have to take test negative? Because then you've got the contact tracing thing. Hell, even in the NFL, for all the things that they do wrong, and they pretty much do everything wrong. Well, that's not true. They do one thing right. They do the contact tracing right. Now it's laughable that every Monday, like if you like, depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this before Sunday, if you're listening to this before games are played, you're not going to see anything. You're going to see very little about new, at least this is the way it's been for 11 weeks. You're going to see very little about new positive tests on Sundays. But God bless it. Once Monday comes around, boy, those COVID lists start flying in. Everybody hits the COVID list on Monday. It's freaking fascinating. Every single Monday, players are going to the COVID list. Not Sunday, but Monday. No games missed. No games canceled. It's why this 18 playoff thing is funny. Like the NFL has this contingency plan for a 16-team playoff scenario, 8 teams in each conference. And it's like, okay, that's great. You've got a plan. You haven't canceled one game. And if you weren't going to cancel the 49ers-Packers game from several weeks ago where both teams were dealing with COVID issues, you're not going to cancel anything. They didn't even move. Remember last time, and I know Raider fans will remember this. Remember last time the Raiders were in, was it Sunday night? Sunday night football? I think it was versus the Bucs. They moved it to 1 o'clock because they wanted to ensure they didn't lose the Sunday night game. Guess who the 49ers are playing this week? The Chiefs. Guess where they're playing? Sunday Night Football. They've got 8 freaking players on the COVID list. 8 defensive players, I should say. I think they have more than 8 players. They got 8 defensive players on the COVID list. But the way the math works out and the way that the NFL has set this up, and I believe has adjusted on the fly, they'll all be eligible to play if they continue to test negative. But that's the NFL where you play once a week. The NBA doesn't play once a week. So the NBA has built it into where they'll release the first half of the schedule, and then as the first half of the season is going on, and I'm sure they'll set a date at a later time, they're going to release the second half of the schedule. And that's to account for any games that are postponed. As a matter of fact, I know, they had, as part of their announcement earlier this week and things that they agreed upon, the play-in tournament that we were just referencing, which is what we were talking about when we were talking about the Sacramento Kings and we were talking about the, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves and could the Kings sneak into that 10 spot? Could the Kings be a part of a play-in scenario? It depends. I mean, you know, we haven't even touched on, you know, I've been talking about the Sacramento Kings this whole time. Haven't touched on what happened with Klay Thompson and the Golden State Warriors. I still believe the Golden State Warriors are good. They spent, I think it turned out to be $84 million to go get Kelly Oubre. Now, Kelly Oubre isn't an $84 million player, but once you get over the tax, the repeater tax, the repeat offender, all of that stuff that made that acquisition. I think Kelly Oubre's contract was like 16, 17, somewhere around there, 16, 17 million. It became $80+ million for them to bring him in. But I still think this team, and I really like the addition of Kelly Oubre. I still think the Golden State Warriors are good. I still believe in Steph Curry. I still believe in Draymond Green. I think the acquisition of Kelly Oubre is going to be good for them, and they've got the number 2 overall pick in James Wiseman. So I still think very highly of them. They're not going to be a 15-win team. Obviously, they're not going to be at the bottom of the barrel, and I definitely don't think they're going to be out of the playoff conversation. But who is? Who's going to be out of the conversation? Who's going to be worse? Well, I thought Minnesota would be. I thought Minnesota would be out of the playoff conversation. Zion, the Pelicans, you got to show me. And then there's the Spurs. I like the Suns. I like the Suns a lot. I actually like the Suns more than the Memphis Grizzlies. I like the Suns more than a lot of teams. Is the Oklahoma City Thunder going to fall out? I still think the Oklahoma City Thunder have a good roster. I think they have good young players. Obviously, they've gotten rid of Chris Paul. They have tremendous they have tremendous assets moving forward. I still think OKC, but 44 wins, no. But what are they? I don't think they're all of a sudden trash. They did change coaches. Billy Donovan is gone. I know their coach's first name is Mark, and I keep getting his like Donyet or something like that. Like, but he was promoted from within. They got him. Like, I can't discount what Chris Paul brought to the organization. I can't discount what Billy Donovan brought to the organization. And I think Danilo Gallinari signed somewhere, so they don't have him anymore either. Which, you know, he was a player that was working out pretty well for them last year. He signed with the Hawks, of course, because the Hawks have all of this freaking money to spend. The Hawks have a ton of money to spend. And, you know, one of the teams that we thought was in on the Bogdan Bogdanović deal was the Atlanta Hawks. I shouldn't say Bogdan Bogdanović deal, but the Bogdan Bogdanović pursuit. And we're going to get back to Bogey here in a second. But as we look at this 10 spot, like, who can you remove? Can you remove Oklahoma City? What winds up happening with Houston? I ultimately think Russell Westbrook and James Harden both start for the Houston Rockets this year. Both at least, at the very, very least, start the season with the Houston Rockets this year. I think the Houston Rockets just run it back as best they can with Russell Westbrook and James Harden there. But where do you have them? Portland, where do you have them? Portland got hot in the bubble for sure. But remember, they were stagnant all year. Of course, Yusef Nurkic was hurt, and I get that. So that's a team that I can't see falling out of the playoff picture. But we're now talking about a potential 10-spot playoff picture rather than an 8. Or maybe it's not fair to call it, you know, a 10-spot playoff picture, but certainly we've got, you know, a couple of more opportunities to get into the playoffs once you get into that 10 spot. So who don't you believe in? So that playoff scenario is set for a play-in scenario, excuse me, is set for May. So when you look at the two halves of the schedule, you recognize that the NBA is planning for cancellations, and they're planning to have to stretch that second half of the season a little bit longer than they probably like to, and we're probably looking at a postseason that goes well into July. So not quite a normal NBA schedule. Closer, certainly a lot closer than we got to this year, but not quite, you know, what normal would be. Because they've got a plan for this. And I applaud them for that. I applaud them for setting up the schedule in two parts. I applaud them for not feeling like they have to release, you know, 72 games all at once. And with, you know, as we shift back here to free agency and we follow all of these different tweets coming in as it gets later and later on the East Coast as we're recording this. Could Bogey have lost money? I guess this is a theory that my partner Kenny Caraway had. He thought, you know, perhaps there was a deal in place. And Milwaukee came back and said, oh, we've got to go a little lower. And everything, the verbal agreement fell apart. And again, this falls into somebody texting Woj a little bit too soon. If you buy into that theory, I don't. And I told him that on the radio show. I don't buy into that theory. But in that scenario, the alerting of Woj, the telling Woj what was going on had to have come from Milwaukee because it wouldn't have made sense to come from Bogey's agents. It had to have come from Milwaukee. So with Atlanta spending money on Danilo Gallinari, and again, they have money. They're one of the few teams to have money. I think Charlotte is another one. New York is another one. New York, of course, New York is constantly chasing guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and all of these big names, which they'll never land because, as I've said, over and over again on this podcast, and I've said on the radio, and I will say it until the freaking end of time, no one will ever sign up to play for James Dolan. No one will willingly, no one of consequence, no one of major consequence will willingly sign up to play basketball on a James Dolan run team or a James Dolan owned team. Won't happen. But they got money. So where does Bogey land in all of this? I don't know, man. I might have to do another podcast tomorrow if we find out where Bogey lands. We act like free agency has to be over in the first day. You know, we get so excited. Where is this person going to go? Where is that person going to go? Free agency, like Rich Paul said, like or I don't know if it was Rich Paul that said this, but it is as it was reported today. I think it was Rich Paul that said this. Like, Anthony Davis is in no hurry. He'll take his time. Now, not everybody is Anthony Davis because teams can't wait. You can't wait for a Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, if someone offered Bogdan Bogdanovic a deal today, it's not like Bogey can go, let me get back to you after I have some turkey. Because the team would be like, F you, bro. We're moving on. We've got another team we've got to sign for. We've got other players we've got to go after. We can't wait for you. We can't let the free agent market dry up. The Lakers aren't worried about Anthony Davis waiting because the free agent market isn't going to dry up on them. They're going to sign everybody that they want to, and then they're going to sign Anthony Davis. So if anything happens with Bogey, man, we'll do another podcast. Anything earth-shattering, Sacramento-shattering, or anything that really gets our attention, we'll do another podcast over the weekend. But I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thanks again to everybody who tuned in to the draft special. I haven't been this excited for a Kings season in a while. They have ridded that organization of so much bad. And Vlade was just bad at his job. God bless him as a player. He's a Hall of Famer. But he was just bad at what he did. And it made the team impossible to root for. Because I just kept looking at this like, let him fail, get him out of here, and hire somebody who knows what they're doing. And that's finally where we got. And Monty McNair is here. I'm rooting for Monty McNair. I'm rooting for the Kings. I'm rooting for all of their players. I'm a bigger fan now than I've ever been of the Kings. Well, I was a huge Kings fan when I was younger. But I'm a bigger fan now than I've been of the Kings since I've been covering them. And I try not to cover this team as a fan. I try to cover them as a journalist. I'm a broadcast journalist like Bobby the Brain Heenan. So I'm excited for this season coming up. I hope a couple of other things, you know, go their way here during free agency. Obviously, De'Aaron was the most important thing. You've got your cornerstone locked up for a very, very, very long time. We want to see Marvin Bagley out there. We want to see Marvin Bagley healthy. And we'll see what's next. I can't wait to see what's next. And I can't wait to be with you. If I don't check in with you before December 4th, if you want to be a part of the Zoom podcast, that'll just be a big Q&A. We'll talk about any and everything that you want. Of course, we'll talk about anything that's going on in the news at that point. But we'll pour ourselves a little drink. We'll have ourselves a little happy hour. December 4th, send me your email and I'll get that. I will get the Zoom link set out on that Monday, so I'll get you the exact date. So we'll get through the holiday and all of that stuff, but I will get the Zoom link sent. Why do I keep saying link? Zoom link sent out on Monday to November 30th. So I'll get that sent out to you. Anyone who wants to be a part of it, you've got a week to get me your email address, 916-888-5898. That link will go out again on Monday, November 3rd. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support of the Be Heard platform. Thank you for your support of ESPN 1320. Thank you for your support of me. Have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. Be smart if you've got family gatherings going on. We all know the COVID situation. Check out the Build Black podcast, by the way, coming up on Tuesday. We have some great, just a really, really good conversation on resources to help with the COVID-19 outbreak and things that you could be doing to protect yourself and how a vaccine isn't going to be nearly enough to fix some of the problems that have been created long before this pandemic broke out. So check out the Bill Black podcast, Deuce and Mo, Watching the Tape, Chase Street Vibes, The Dope Ones, all of the great Sean and Vaughn, all of the great podcasts that we got here on the Be Heard podcast platform. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we will see you, literally, we'll actually see you on the Zoom call December 4th here on the podcast with Damian Barling.